You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live. Next, featuring intimate and in-depth interviews with Black Hollywood's next edition of stars and influencers. Black Hollywood Live. Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live, next.
Hey, what's up? It's Megan Thomas at Megan Sleep on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Right here, we are doing BHL Next, like we do every single week, where we bring you the hottest and the newest artists, talents, whoever, just so you can see who's up and who's next. Yes. And today's no different. Who are you, beautiful lady?
I'm Courtney Tezano, you guys. Not an upcoming artist, but your host today.
Girl, you are upcoming. Let them know. Let them know.
You are so crazy. Let them know. You guys can keep in touch with me at Tezanos on Twitter and Instagram.
Yes, and be sure to go to podcast1.com. It's just a quick survey. It helps us to become our best selves. Yes. Actually, you can tell us what you think about our show. Just go to podcast1.com. Take the survey. It's like 3 minutes, and yes, it helps us so much.
Please give us feedback.
Yes, and then we can continue to do awesome shows like this. And don't forget to use the hashtag BHL Next so we can see your comments and even shout you out during the show.
Yes.
Today, you know, we have the hottest guest, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Today's no different.
Yes.
Now, this man is hilarious, and you've seen him everywhere. I'm talking about everywhere.
Everywhere.
If you woke up this morning, you saw his face. Yes. That's what I'm saying. You just went like this. Boom. He was right there. He's on ABC's Black-ish Dope, which is out in theaters today, straight out of Compton, August 14th. The list goes on and on and on and on. Give it up for Alan Maldonado.
Man, I appreciate you, ladies. What a great intro, man.
Wow. You got these waves.
I try to get dipped on them.
Yeah. I know. You over here making me seasick with your waves.
Hey, you better stop it.
Now, we got some pictures
of
you.
You can keep going, though.
Keep going. All right, let's talk about some stuff going on in the world. New casting stuff. So, you guys have heard about Rachel Dolezal, who is the NAACP former president in Spokane, Washington.
Yep.
She just lost her job, but guess what? She's about to have a new job.
Where?
As a reality star.
Stop it.
No, she's gotten two offers from different production companies for a reality show. And I'm like, wait, what's the name of this reality show? Alan, what's the name of this reality show?
White is the New Black? What is that? Is that it?
We don't know yet. So she's still looking for an agent and a publicist. So if anybody out there would like to represent her, hey,
she's getting a reality show.
Yes. All I know is when she does this reality show, she better answer some of these questions, these hashtags, Ask Rachel.
What did I say? Like, your mama is nacho _, and it was like, your mama is nacho, is not Jesus, it's not this, it's not your best friend. And I was like, it's that one. See, Ask Rachel.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah, very interesting.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yes, so we'll see what happens with that. I will watch it, though.
Sipping the coffee.
Speaking of coffee, Miguel's coffee is out. That's one of our fresh beats today. So let's go ahead and listen to this one. Have you guys heard of it?
No, I heard it. Yeah, let me check it out.
Let's go ahead and watch this one. Real smooth.
Okay.
It gets intense. Keep playing it, Steven.
I think that's his real girlfriend.
No, that's not his real girlfriend.
It's not her?
Oh, no. Trust me. I know his real girlfriend. She's dropped dead.
Wait.
This girl is pretty
We're not going to get too into it.
This is
that's business. That's a tough day. Mm-hmm. That's a tough day at work. That's a tough day at work, man. I feel that man's pain. He had to go through that. How dare you have to go through that? Talk to somebody, man.
Right.
Production messed up. He had to go through that just vigorous. Oh my God.
But you know what? That was the least explicit part of that video. I mean, Miguel is giving us a whole new meaning to coffee.
He's getting it in, Miguel.
It's a tough day at work, man. It's sad. I feel sorry for him that he had to go through that.
Right.
Apologies.
I think it's a real smooth joint. I'm excited about
it.
Miguel always brings it.
Mm-hmm. I like Miguel joints. His first album, second album, they all solid, man. Real good music.
Mm-hmm. True. So let's talk about the next big thing. Now, we all have Twitter. We love our Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you know how we are limited to the 140 characters?
Right.
Well, guess what? you won't be on your direct messages. Shout out to all your boos that you've been trying to hit up.
Hey, Alan. No, see, that's a problem, man.
Then
you can get a full-on argument on the DMC.
They need to
keep that at 140. I'm not behind that.
That. They just announced yesterday that they will be removing that 140 character count on the direct messages.
See, that's all bad, man.
Now, all these girls are going to hit you up, Alan.
They just you get a full-length story on there. You don't want that. Mm-hmm. I'm against it. Twitter.
We start a change.org petition.
Let's not change that. You know, some things are better left alone. You know what I'm saying?
Are
you a comedian?
Nah, I'm not.
Why not?
I mean, I'm an actor. I could be funny, you know, but I could be serious too. So
we need to get that improv coach, whoever you've been training with.
Yes.
Man, that's the streets, man.
That's the best improv coach ever.
Right. You can't have no jokes in the hood, man. You get ate alive, man. You know, I was a pretty boy in the neighborhood, so I had to survive, man.
Let's talk about it.
The Dozens on Blackish, but let's go ahead and talk.
Oh yeah, you gotta be well equipped.
Definitely. Right. Okay, so let's go ahead and start there with the neighborhood. You were born and raised in California.
Yes.
Specifically, I can't pronounce
it. Rialto.
Rialto.
I'm looking in the camera this representing Rialto. What up, everybody? Vineyard, holler back one time. But Rialto, California.
How was it being raised there? What was your neighborhood like?
I grew up in a neighborhood called the Vineyards, man. It was kind of the rough neighborhood. Like, my basketball coaches wouldn't even drop me off of practice. After practice. Like, it was that type of neighborhood.
Man.
But to me, like, growing up there, it didn't...
Right.
Like, I knew the people that would break into your car.
Right.
So, it really didn't do nothing for me until I, like, got out of it and kind of would tell stories. Like, I'd tell stories about my life growing up, and people be like,
man,
it'd just be silent. I'd be like, oh, you didn't go through that? You didn't get shot at or not? Oh, that. Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Okay. Right. So that's something that I had to learn. I just thought it was a part of life, man. And, it just was, it was interesting. I survived and being coming out of that situation and be where I'm at is just a true blessing.
Yeah.
Right. True blessing.
Let's talk about that. You were raised by your mother. Mm-hmm. And how did
it's my superhero.
I know. How did that affect your career path that you're on now?
It's totally, she's my inspiration. She's the reason why I work as hard as I work, where, you know, what I'm doing now is nothing in comparison to her raising three kids by herself, raising a man by herself. So just seeing her wake up at 4:00 in the morning, coming back at 8 p.m., just let me know that if I work hard at something and I can achieve anything that I wanted. And with all the businesses that I own and everything like that, I still feel like I'm not working as hard as her.
Wow.
Right. Like, it's in me. It's just embedded in me that, you know what? I still have a lot to prove, not just to her, to myself, as far as what I see as a strong individual.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like the ultimate role model.
Right. And you're Puerto Rican and black?
Yes.
Do you speak Spanish?
Hey, I got the blackest Spanish you could ever ever hear. And it's limited.
It's limited.
But my Spanish is a little weak. Family in New York kill me for it. But it's all right. I'm gonna make do.
Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, Rosetta Stone, man. That's my best friend. That's my best friend.
You're hilarious. Right. Now, we think you should have been a comedian as well. Did you always know you wanted to be an actor?
No, I didn't know what I wanted to be. I didn't really realize it till when I was 16, 17 when I graduated from high school. Like, I did it in high school and I kind of just played with it. I was the class clown and I was the guy that always made people laugh and I just enjoyed being around people. Cause I was the youngest of three and I was the only boy and my sisters are a lot older. So they kind of left the house and I was just by myself. So I enjoyed school to be around people.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and, just
let's
had a
show the younger Alan, you guys. What do you
think
he looks like?
Oh, y'all got pictures of that? Oh!
Are you sure you didn't want to be a hair model?
Man, hey, long hair don't care.
Let's see the other picture.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Okay.
Ooh, look at you at the hang time.
Yeah.
How long did you have your braids? How many years?
Since I was 12. And it got down to my waist at one point.
Wow. It was a problem, man.
I literally went to school with my hair a mess. And girls used to call me when I got there. Because it was a problem. It was just too much. It was too much. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't do it. So...
when did you decide to cut that off? Like, I know Lloyd did it, Trey Songz. It was a wave of people chopping it.
It was like 4 years ago.
It was like four years ago.
And it was tough. Like, I had just finished doing The Ugly Truth, and that was like the last film I did with hair. And I said, as soon as I'm finished this film, I'm cutting it.
Uh-huh.
it took about 2 months after that. And then one day I just woke up like, it's going to happen today. Get the camera. Let's go. Let's go. Went to the homeboy shop and he cut me, cut it off. And it's been a wrap. It took about a year to get over it. I ain't going to lie. Like, I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. Like, who is this?
Who are you?
Who is it? I appreciate it. Appreciate it. But because I didn't know how to cut it. Like, my haircuts was whack. It was terrible. I looked a hot mess for like 3-4 months because I didn't have that barbershop upbringing. Like, you know, go shop, give me a one, give me a two, give me a three on the side or whatever. Oh. I just went there and tried to go by the give me a number six.
Oh, no.
The picture, and that's the worst thing right. to do. Oh. Like, that's just, yeah. So I had to get it together, but we figured it out.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, as long as the edge up, a lot of people don't say edge up, they say line up.
Yeah, get the line up right.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm from the South, we say edge up. But okay. As long as that's correct.
Yeah. It's all right, man.
You did all right. You got the little cut in there.
Thank you. Shout out to my barber, Mike. What's up? He held me down.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay, let's get back to the beginning. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So your upbringing, you actually dealt with a lot of life-changing experiences with drunk driving, almost fatal accident, and then you lost your father to cancer.
Yeah.
How
did
that affect your acting career?
Well, I mean, as far as like my father, it just made me really independent. Mm-hmm. It made me just really understand that, you know, it's on me to take care of my family. So it gave me a different position in life as far as knowing that I didn't have anyone to rely on. I had nobody to teach me. So I was self-taught in a lot of things that I do. Mm-hmm. Pretty much 90% of the stuff that I do, I had to self-taught. And it gave me a certain strength. Being alone makes you strong type thing. And just him, you know, passing from, you know, lung cancer and smoking and drinking, it really just, because I don't smoke a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now I will say I can have a drink if I want to, but I just choose not to.
Yeah.
Just because of that. That's definitely kept a real stronghold on that. So it keeps me out of trouble in that sense. And then as far as just the being hit by a drunk driver, that, you know, that moment really changed my life. I was on Young and the Restless at the time. Things was really going up. And it slowed me down and made me realize just the power and effect and the faith that I have in God.
Yeah.
Just understanding that I'm here for a purpose. And just, it's a different, like, I can't really explain it because it's a thing that you feel. Like, after recovering, took about 4 months, my strength and my passionate belief in God just grew to a whole nother level, knowing that I could be fearless.
Yeah.
To be hit by a BMW going 85 or 65 miles per hour and to be still here is nothing short of a miracle.
Right.
Yeah, nothing short of that. I'm not supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm.
If you go by the numbers and you go by whatever people tell you, you know, and that just, you know, translated into my career, because nobody could tell me anything. Nobody can tell me what I can, or the limits, or the goals that I can't reach, because, you know, what I've experienced, to survive something like that makes me believe and makes me fearless to do anything that I want to do.
Right.
Well, wow. Our experiences really do, like, mold us into the people we are.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I don't know what school you went to. What school did you go to? And if you... Come on.
Well, at high school? Rialto High, man.
Okay,
Rialto High School, man. Played basketball. We went to the Final Four, man. Lost to Long Beach Poly by 1 point. Still hot about that. But yeah, man, high school was a good time, man. I loved high school. It was the prom king. I was all that. It was a good time. I loved it.
Good. Okay. And then what was your defining moment when you realized, like, acting is it for me? That's my passion.
You know what? It wasn't acting. It was just responsibility. I tell this story a lot because it means so much. It was the turning point of my life. One time I was hanging out, you know, on the block with the cats, with our fellas. They rolling dice, they drinking, and I'm just kind of in the mix. And, you know, it's all this chaos is happening. I see this lady walking down the street, and I'm just like, okay, she just captivated me. Like, I can't take my eyes off of her. Mm-hmm. For some reason, she seems exhausted. And as she continues to get closer, I'm like, you know, everything else disappeared. And I could just only focus on this lady. And as she got closer, I realized it was my mother. And it broke my heart so bad that I realized I had to do something. Mm-hmm. I had to figure out a way to take care of my family. And that was the turning point of my life. Like, I had a lot of tough decisions. I stopped hanging around with a lot of people that I felt really wasn't helping me move forward. Or not even just that. It's just when you're around certain individuals, it makes it convenient to not do certain things. It makes it convenient to fall into the bad habits,
right,
or things that aren't really going towards success. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's nothing against these individuals, but it was all for the purpose of my family. So mm-hmm. I removed myself from a lot of people, which got me in a lot of trouble at the time, mm-hmm. because, you know, you come from these rough areas and you have to sort of depend on the group to survive.
Right.
You know, and to isolate myself and put myself, just, I'm alone, you know, in these areas kind of was tough. It was tough the first couple of years, but as a result, it was the best decision of my life.
How did you know it was acting, though? How did you know it wasn't to go to med school or be a lawyer or anything?
I mean,
like that?
That was what I felt that was what I was gifted at. Mm. I felt I was gifted at that. And then I went to college for business. And I understood that I would never work for someone. So I would establish my own business, and also in this acting business, establish my own direction in it. You know, right. Start my own production company, my own music company, and my philanthropy work with the kids and stuff like that. So I have other means of income outside of acting. So it allows me to be independent. It allows me to have a position of to say no,
right,
and not let financial dictate my decisions. So.
Right, right.
You know, with acting, again, it just, I felt it in my, I prayed on it, and it just was good. Like, this is what you're gifted at. Cause I played basketball and I wasn't gifted at basketball in the sense that it was a natural thing. I had to work extremely hard. I went from the bottom, the back of the bench to the sixth man, one of the best shooters on the team. Wow. And, you know, in a span of 3 years. Mm-hmm. But that taught me work ethic. And even though you may not be as blessed or gifted as the next individual, but if you outwork them, you can beat them. And right. That's what I learned from basketball and then from high school, that, with my acting, I was naturally gifted at it, and my work ethic, I can never lose.
Right.
You know, so,
you better
yeah.
say that. You better preach that. Brother Maldonado.
Preach on. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
So we talked a lot about your mom being your role model, and ooh. I have to say, wow, she's a phenomenal woman from just Ms. hearing right, about right, her. Right. Yes.
Yes, it's my lady.
Was there anybody in the industry that was a role model to you?
Man, I got to give a shout out to my big bro, Kiko Ellsworth. He was the first individual to make it real for me. Like, again, coming from this area, coming from outside of Los Angeles, Hollywood and just the TV itself seems like another world.
Yeah.
And when I met him, he made it, like, it literally made it real. He was tangible. Somebody that was on TV, he was on General Hospital at the time. He just finished doing Bad Boys 2. And he was doing the things that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And being able to speak to him, being able to say that that's my friend, and conversate with him and just have regular conversation with him is like, wow, he's no different than me.
Right.
It's not like you have to have superpowers to be in this business. And that was, again, another turning point for me where I was like, I can do this, mm-hmm. and wholeheartedly believe that,
right.
because it wasn't this, you know, the magical world of TV.
Right, yeah. Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You've done so much work. I'm talking about from working on Young and the Restless.
Yeah, yeah.
How was
yeah.
that, by the way? How was it being on
Young and the Restless? Was great, man. It's, you know, it's acting 101. It's yeah. one of those things where you get to set, and as soon as you come out the makeup chair, it could be a whole nother set. It could be a whole right. other script. Like, I could be a whole nother person, you know. So I could have died, and I'm now my evil twin brother. Like, it's
right.
like soaps are great in the aspects of it keeps you on your toes,
mm-hmm.
you know. And every day you got to be sharp and learn a new line. So that just definitely helped me hone my skills.
Mm-hmm. And then you recently starred alongside Denzel Washington in The Equalizer.
That's my man. Again, another life-changing moment just to work with a legend. Icon, mm-hmm. somebody that I admire what he's done with his career, his business, just the way he's handled himself and how way he, you know, also demands his family to be present. Like, his family were there on set. Like, they were contributing to the film as well.
Nice.
And just seeing that and know that you could still be in this business and still have a strong sense of family meant a lot for me. It meant a lot just seeing it, you know. And me and Denzel play catch.
You know.
Me and Denzel play catch. We play catch. You know,
highlight
man,
of
that,
your life.
That was a moment. That was a moment. right. That was a moment, man. You know, we had a father-son bond. He didn't know it was that deep for me. But we played catch, man. We played catch. So it was good.
That's good.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And then you also starred in the critically acclaimed movie Cake
yeah.
with Jennifer
yeah.
Aniston. That was
yeah.
a good movie. What,
yeah.
How was it working with her?
She's so sweet, man. Such a beautiful person inside and out. As soon as I walked in the makeup trailer, she greeted me with hugs. And I'm like... Aww. Like, what is this? Jennifer Aniston? Right, right. I'm like, and it's like, hey, I'm like, hey. I'm like,
yeah.
And, you know, we worked lines. We rehearsed before going to set. And that's, you know, somewhat rare of someone of her stature.
Mm-hmm.
And it was humbling. Mm-hmm. It was humbling for her to be at this, you know, height of her career and success, and to also just be grounded as an actor and in her craft, and was ready to work, and just really, even though, you know, my role wasn't that huge in it, to still respect me and appreciate and congratulate and thank me for being a part of it. So she's just a beautiful person.
Yes,
she is. And let's talk about you being Curtis on ABC's Blackish, which, by the way, shout out to AfterBuzz TV. We are on the Blackish recap show. Make sure you check that out.
That's right.
Yeah, so what's the best part about working on that set? Because I know it's got to be funny.
I mean, just the cast. The cast, man, just that everybody's hilarious. Everybody holds their own. Everybody contributes to just when the camera's not rolling is when we have the most fun. Like, it's just, and just that experience, just being a part of that kind of family. And Anthony Anderson is amazing. He's great. He's really, embraced me.
Right.
And I appreciate that. I truly appreciate this as a young, up-and-coming actor. Again, his career, he's been in his business for a long time. And the things that he's done as being another actor that's not a comedian, so to speak, but can be funny and then also do dramatic work. Uh-huh. I appreciate that. I appreciate him acknowledging, you know, and bringing me onto the show.
Yes.
And shout out to my boy Kenya Barris, man. I can't say how proud of him. Like, I've known him for a while, and just to see how his career and the things that he's being honored for, and just to be able to say that I seen this years ago means a lot, you know, and it means a lot to see him and his family, you know, get the proper due that he's been getting, man. Totally excited for the things that to come for him as well.
Shout out to Kenya.
Speaking of dope, it's a new movie that's out in theaters today, and it features ASAP Rocky, Zoe Kravitz, you. Why should people go see this movie?
I think it's a film that's going to stand the test of time. Like, it's going to be a movie that everybody's going to be talking about, quoting. And the movie represents is another thing. It's not about white. It's not about black. It's not about where you come from.
Right.
It's about three geeks that, you know, are trying to survive in Inglewood and try to keep their identity and not let their environment dictate or let anyone that perceives a certain image, a certain way that you're supposed to be coming from these particular areas. Mm-hmm, and that's what it represents. It's being, staying true and staying original and not letting the individual around you influence you to do negative things, or just being from that area, people to embrace you in a certain way. And that's, you know, similar to my own story coming from where I come from. And, I had a stigma over my own self for a long time that people looked and viewed at me a certain way. And it was me. It wasn't really anyone else. It's because I'm like, I know where I know the things. Like, again, I tell that story and people are like, what? And I'm like, okay.
Wait, did you think people thought you were like hood, or did you think the opposite?
No. I think the perception of people, again, where I could say my coaches wouldn't drop me off after practice. So, you know, it was something that growing up, I knew I wasn't that. I was a Boy Scout. You know what I'm saying? And, I was around these individuals, but I wasn't participating in any of those actions or anything like that. I danced with it. I walked a fine line, but I never was a gangbanger. I never was, you know, involved in stuff like that. But the people outside of that thought so.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at me a certain way, you know. And going into Hollywood, it took me a while to get over that because I had the cornrows and different things like that. And, you know, with the hair, I would book certain roles that were these menacing and violent characters. And to myself, I'm like, yo, I know some killers and they don't look nothing like me. Like, I knew, yo, I know some cats that you like, yo, are you crossing the street?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and, so that took a lot. And that's what this film represents, is that even though you come from, you don't have to think that way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I don't want to give away the movie, but just go to see it and you're going to leave with something.
You've sold it to me. So I'm excited. I mean, so many people can relate to this. So
yes.
I'm excited.
Yes.
I'm going
yes.
to see
yes.
that
yes.
tonight.
Yes, please. I've been pressing this 7-ticket minimum. Go get 7 tickets,
seven
man.
Tickets.
Yes. 7-ticket minimum. Go
That's
get
what I'm talking about. Yeah. You are so busy. You just, another movie's coming out. One of the most epic biopics of all time, straight out of Compton.
Yes, yes.
The NWA biopic. You star as the character Tone. How was that? Especially because you're from the West Coast and this music was part of your
I mean, it's deeper than that. Like, I grew up in Compton the first 7 years of my life. And my sister went to school with MC Ren.
Okay.
Wow. yeah. And her best friend was like neighbors to Suge Knight's grandmother. Like I was around this as a kid. I remember stuff as a kid. Uh-huh. So to be a part of this film means a lot to me personally.
Coming
from Compton. And oh my God. Like I was at the after party and Dr. Dre walked up to me and said he was a fan. Like, I was playing it cool. I was no doubt, man. Appreciate it. My boy was like, literally mouth dropped, like,
what?
Yo, did Dre just come up to you say he was, I think so. like, you know, it's surreal in that aspect to work with these legends. And my first film was Friday After Next. To work again with Ice Cube as my career is taking another leap forward was just, it's full circle. And this film, that, you know, NWA's, it's special. Yeah. I've seen a few, you know, clips from it, and it's fantastic. Wow. And I believe it's going to exceed everybody's expectation.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. You have worked, so literally you've been on everything. I was on your IMDb page, and I was like, you was in that too? Wait, you was in that? I was like, oh, I was here. Like, you've been in every single movie that I've probably ever watched in my entire life.
Thank you. Thank you.
That
Thank
is
you.
Awesome. And you're going to be on some more stuff because you still have, what, two major roles coming out for FX's You're the Worst.
Yeah, You're the Worst.
Mm-hmm. And then you also have, what, Stars, Survivor's Remorse.
Yeah,
Survivor's Remorse. What are your audition
tips, man? Yeah, that's what I want to know. What should people do?
You know what? I believe this, man. It's simple. Like, nothing is negative nor positive. It just is. So it's all about your point of view. And a lot of times when people think of acting, they always bring up, oh, what about the rejection? And that's your first thing you have to overcome. As far as it's in thinking that it's not about this game isn't about rejections.
Right.
It's like basketball. If you shoot a jump shot, you make or miss, you gotta love the game. Love the practice like you love the game. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's about taking the shot, not making it. And as long as it feels good, whatever happens at the other end, I'm okay with that. And that is my biggest strength. You know, just my positive outlook on life and my positive outlook on my career and knowing that it's a business. I mean, at the end of the day, you could be the greatest actor in the world, but if you ain't got your business right, you ain't going nowhere.
Right.
And I have a, you know, it's 80% business, 10% talent, 10% politics.
Right.
So if you only got 10% of a pie, you know, that's an F.
Right. Sure
that's an F. But you can be not as talented, but if you have your business, that's still a B plus. You know?
Yeah. When you say business, talk about it because there's a lot of people who want to be in this business. Yeah. What is taking care of your business?
It's about understanding your strengths, understanding your weaknesses, understanding your business. It's about having a business plan, understanding your market, understanding your demographic, understanding your target demographic, and building your brand to reach as such. Like, I was sponsored by Coca-Cola and I learned so much from them as far as their marketing team and just understanding how to reach your certain audience and not limit yourself and not waste your time and putting in energy in people that aren't really on your target demographic. And like Coca-Cola is American Pie. It's the white polar bears. But then you have Mountain Dew. It's the same industry, same soft drink industry, but it's targeted to a different audience. It's for extreme sports. It's that. So if you know your brand, you're Mountain Dew and you're targeting to the Coca-Cola brand, you're going to lose.
Right.
You're going to lose. So you're wasting your time. You're wasting your effort. You're wasting your money. But if you understand that these are the people that are going to enjoy what I do and want to enjoy my strength, you focus on them. Yeah. And that's the business aspect that a lot of artists, you know, as actors, they're, you know, the thespians, and they really like, I love the craft. Right. They lose that. They don't really focus on the business. And it's such a large part in it that's where people get discouraged. And that's where, like, oh, nothing is happening. I'm doing everything. I'm at school. I'm at class every day. But Learn the business. I can't say it enough, man. Understand what you're going up against.
Exactly. Right. One thing that I've heard a lot is that people get so frustrated with this industry, and it is about your look and your talent. Like you said, I love that you said, know what your demographic is, know what area you should be targeting.
Yeah.
Like, so many people get so frustrated, and it's like, you just gotta find your niche. Like, you gotta find what works for you.
Yeah. I mean, and that's where people, They forget that it's a business. It's the entertainment business, not the business of entertainment. So I could just only stress, like you could be as talented as you can be, the best at what you do. But if you don't understand what you do and who that's going to reach, you limit yourself. Yeah. You throwing stuff on the wall and hoping to stick.
Rather than
aiming at a direct target.
Right.
And that's where people get frustrated because they're wasting their efforts on individuals that aren't looking for what they're selling.
Mm-hmm.
What haven't you accomplished? No, right? No, I'm serious. Right. What haven't you done yet? And what do you want to do next?
I got a long list, man. You know, action comedy is something that is the brand that I'm trying to build, along with a dramatic base, as the first 10 years of my career is all dramatic work. Uh-huh. And just recently I've been doing comedy. So, I'm excited on the new levels that I begin to climb, and you know, definitely A-list, owning my own production company, which I already do, but also just being able to put out my own films on a major level. And again, I have a business plan with that. I have 5 films in slate for that. So it's a plan. It's a plan. That's, I can only stress enough. Like, you can't come in this, it's a business. So just like any business, like you starting up a coffee shop, burger, wing shop, or whatever, you gotta have a plan. And if you don't have that, you just have no direction. You just be running in place.
Right.
So just continue to grow, with my business. Because I always say, I'm doing everything that I want to do. I'm doing everything that I want to do, and being able to is the true success. And just the heights of it depends on how hard I work.
Right.
Yeah.
You are working.
You're so hard working. You don't have time for a lot of stuff. Do you have time for a relationship?
Man, that's the most difficult part, man, because you got to focus so much. Relationship is work. That's business,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it is.
That's business, too. So it takes a special individual to understand that. And there's certain goals that I want to achieve financially, because kids are expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Kids are expensive, and I'm a family person. I'm a family. I didn't even know I'm that individual that wants a family and wants a wife. I want kids. I want all of those things. So it takes an individual that's going to be the proper balance to what I do.
Okay.
You know, because it's difficult. It's difficult if I'm gone and then she may be gone. You know, who's gonna be there for the family? Like, it's all about family, man.
Right.
Everything is structured around that. The things that I do, the work ethic, and just building my empire to be able to, you know, build my family.
Right.
You know, so it's tough.
So does that mean?
Is there, yeah, is there a lady then?
No,
because she didn't really answer it. Is there a lady?
That was real political. Wasn't it?
It was real political. Is there a lady?
Is it? I mean, let's put the pressure on me. Nervous right now, but no, there isn't a lady.
All right, you about to get all the DMs. No 140.
Right.
But my question is, have you pretty much scratched it off the list that it'll be somebody in the industry? Because if it's someone doing the same thing as you, you want that balance.
No, exactly. If it's in the industry, that'd be tough. It doesn't really fit what my plan is. But again, what my plan and what God's plan is totally different.
Yeah.
It can be. But again, it's balance for me.
Right.
It's balance. That's the thing. Now, I'm always looking for an individual that's going to be a balance to me, with everything that I do and everything that she brings to the table. You know, I think that's something that relationships, they lose.
Right,
you lose
right.
Because everybody is the thing of what have you done for me lately type thing, but that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you bringing to the table as well as I'm, if, are we growing together? Do I inspire you and you inspire me?
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing.
Right.
I need an individual that's going to inspire me to do more and to do better, and vice versa. And
if we don't continue to grow,
exactly. And everybody's position is different.
Mm-hmm.
Some there's a front man, there's a background singers, and nobody's less important than the other,
right.
You know? And, again, that's the, I guess, not difficult part about it, but that's just the journey in building any relationship with any individual, whether it's your boyfriend or girlfriend, your friend or best friend or family in general. You always have to be in a position to inspire each other. And how do you help each other grow?
Mm-hmm.
It should be at no point that somebody doesn't help you.
Right.
And vice versa. It shouldn't be a give, or take. It should be give and take whole relationship. So
you
that's
both should be training each other on.
That's a challenge. That's always the challenge.
Don't you worry, because these girls on Twitter are like, oh, I got your challenge, Alan.
Right, we just got more space on these DMs.
DMs, yes.
Oh, yeah, that is right.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So what upcoming projects do you have?
You guys forgot the startup. It's coming out in September.
Okay.
On BET.
It's so much, though.
That is. Yeah. I mean, we don't have time for all your stuff, man.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah. You know, it's working. It's like breathing to me. I got to have it. And, yeah, we got that coming out. You guys mentioned Survivor's Remorse. We got You're the Worst coming out. And then Blackest, we got season 2 coming up.
Do any of these conflict, by the way? Because I feel like you're on every channel.
Man, that's the blessing of it all, man. It all works out. Like, when I'm shooting one, I get to shoot the other. Usually, like, we just finished doing Survivors and Morris, and now we're starting You're the Worst. And then by the time we finish You're the Worst, Blackish should be starting. So okay. It all works out. And then in between all those, I'll do another film. I got another movie coming out called Smart Ass. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I got another movie coming, Smart Ass, coming out. And then I'm doing something for my nephew. I'm doing a Disney show. He loves the show. So I was like, oh, I want to do it.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's called Kirby Bucket. So I'm excited to do it. I'm bringing him to set. It's gonna be a cool experience, man. So I'm very involved with my family, as I mentioned before, my nieces and nephew. I got a bunch of stuff in store.
Good. Okay. So where can your fans keep in touch with you on social media?
Man, at Alan _ Maldonado. Yes, spell it out. Alen _MALDONADO.
And is there anything you want to say to them before we get out of here?
Success is not suggested, it's demanded. Like, you can't be timid with your career and you're timid with your dreams. Like, yeah. You have to demand it. You can't take no for an answer. And you can't say, even can't take no for an answer, even with yourself.
Yeah.
So, just go for it. Go for your dreams.
Man,
we are so proud of you.
Yes, we are. Let me get some of this off of you.
Let me get some of this off of me.
Some of this success over this one.
I appreciate it, ladies.
Where can we find you, Courtney?
You guys can keep in touch with me at Tesnos on Twitter and Instagram. And now Snapchat.
Oh, Snapchat. And you can find me, Megan Thomas, on Twitter, Instagram. I'm about Instabook.
Do it for the gram.
Instabook, whatever. All of them. All of them. Just merge them together. It's at Meg Scoop, like scoop of ice cream. Until next time, y'all. Bye.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.